connection between chapter 9 and chapter 10, because Krishna is having a conversation. One idea flows from the previous idea. So what was chapter 9? Chapter 9 is most confidential knowledge. So what is the most confidential knowledge? It's loving relationship between the living entity and the personality of Godhead. What's confidential knowledge? Just don't tell anybody because it's confidential. Is that what confidential knowledge means? It means that which is meant to many people, it's hidden, but it's very important to us at the same time. So, knowledge of the soul, knowledge of who we really are, is confidential knowledge. Distinguishing matter and spirit is confidential knowledge. Worldly people can't understand it. Even you can tell them, you are a spirit soul. They'll think, I'm this body. They won't understand because it's confidential knowledge. Next question. What is more confidential knowledge? Huh? Not only there is soul, but there is supreme soul, and they're distinct. More confidential knowledge. Some people know that there is soul, but they don't know that there's a supreme soul and we're subordinate to that supreme soul. More confidential knowledge. Third question. What is most confidential knowledge? Yeah. There's a loving relationship between this subordinate jiva soul and the supreme soul, and that loving relationship called bhakti, service and love, is the most confidential. If we had more time, I'd elaborate further. Now, chapter 10. Krishna wants to amplify the mood of devotion of his devotee. So he presents chapter 10. Opulences of the Absolute. And the Chatur Shloki verses of the entire Bhagavad Gita. What's the last verse of chapter 9, Bhagavad Gita?
Manmana bhavagad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishasi satyam te pratijani priyosime.
So Krishna's saying to Arjuna, Manmana, always think of me. Bhava mad bhakto, become my devotee. So how to do that? Chapter 10, Bhagavad Gita. How to always fix the mind upon Krishna and increase one's devotion to Him. I gave the Sanskrit for chapter 18. Mami Vaishasi Yuktvaivam Atmanam Madparayana is 934. So, now I have your undivided attention. That was all to gather your attention together. So we can describe the first section of chapter 10, Bhagavad Gita. And the essence of the first section of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, is Krishna is going to explain to Arjuna that anything that appears within this world, anything that is born, cannot know its source or origin independently. I'll say it again. Anything that takes birth within this world or appears within this world within time cannot independently know its source or origin. That unknowable source or origin is the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. And when Krishna wants to disclose himself to someone, he can. And he does. And so he does that in the second section of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10. I'll say it one more time concisely. I wrote it down. That which is created cannot independently know its source of origin. What is the absolute truth? That from which everything comes. Everything has come. What is that origin? It is not knowable by empiric means. It's not knowable. But by disclosure, then it's knowable. So in the second section, Krishna describes, he discloses himself. And it's understood by the devotees, and it's bewildering and remains hidden or confidential to the non-devotees. Okay. Chapter 10, text 1, Krishna says, I am Arjuna. I'll read. Oh, mighty Arjuna, because you are my dear friend, for your benefit I shall speak to you further, giving knowledge that is better than what I have already explained. What's better than the most confidential knowledge? How can you get better than that? That is, Krishna is going to explain how devotion can be increased. Text 2. Krishna says, neither the demigods nor the great sages know my origin, because Krishna has no origin, nor my opulences, for in every respect, I am the source of the demigods and the sages. So how can they know their source, what to speak of Krishna's source? Now comes disclosure. Krishna is going to disclose who is their source. Krishna says, he who knows me as unborn, beginningless, the Supreme Lord of the whole worlds, only that person, undiluted, becomes free from sins. Just as we heard one of the special features of this chapter 10, Krishna is disclosing he is his position as the absolute truth. He then says a whole list of 14, 15 qualities. Qualities, everything in this world, persons and the qualities of persons come from me. Then he says, he expands on the idea of who doesn't know him. That's, who doesn't know him? Anyone who takes birth. To know Krishna in full, independently, meaning without disclosure, is not possible. So he says, the seven great sages, and before them, the four great sages, the Kumaras, direct sons of Brahma, and the Manus. Now these are avatars, Manvantara avatars, and the four Kumaras, they're Shaktivesh avatars. They're avatars of the Lord's Jnana Shakti. They come from me, born from my mind. And all living beings come from them, the Manus and the Prajapatis and all the varieties of species and living entities. Krishna is disclosing, I'm the source. Now this first section ends where Krishna makes another declarative statement, very strong statement. He says, one who factually knows, not theoretically, but vigyan, has factual knowledge of this opulence and mystic power of mine, what happens? Engage themselves in my unalloyed devotional service. Now we're ready for the second section of verses. It's the Chaturshloki verses. Krishna has set the stage to present the essence of the entire Bhagavad Gita. There's four verses. The first two verses are describing the characteristics of the devotee, what the devotee understands, what the devotee does. The second two verses is how Krishna feels about those devotees, how what he feels and what he does from his side. Very confidential. Okay. First is what the devotee understands. The devotee understands Krishna is the source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhava matak sarvam pravartate. He says it twice. Krishna is the source of everything, everything comes from him. Saying the same thing. Krishna is the source of everything, everything comes from him. Iti madva, thus knowing, bhajante maham, what else can you do? Krishna is everything. Unless you're a cheater, what do? You serve him. Iti madva bhajante maham, buddha, bhava, samanvita, and then things start to stir inside. One's spiritual intelligence is awakened. One's spiritual emotions become awakened. One feels ecstatic in that position of knowing who is the source of everything and serving that source of everything in the loving service is ecstatic. Then, second of the Chaturastoki verses, a little expansion of what that pure devotional service consists of. What do the devotees do? Their thoughts are absorbed in Krishna. Their lives are inseparable from service to Krishna. They're always engaged in speaking and chanting the glories of Krishna. Always. This is what devotees do. Now it gets really confidential. What does Krishna do? Here comes his devotee, always thinking of him, life dedicated to him, singing his glories, chanting. What does Krishna do? He's not a stone. He reciprocates. What does Krishna do? He gives them the understanding how they can come to him. And for a finale, our Acharya Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur goes into the mind and the heart of Arjuna. And Krishna's reading Arjuna's heart. Arjuna is thinking, this is very nice. The devotee, by the mercy of Krishna, he comes to understand Krishna is the source of everything. So he engages in his service. And he fixes his mind, and he gives his life to Krishna, and he's always glorifying Krishna. And Krishna reciprocates. Krishna gives him the means. He gives him the intelligence. He opens the path and clears his way to reach Krishna. But I have a doubt. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, what about the residual tendencies of the living entity? How long the living entity has been in this material world? Since time immemorial? What about that tendency to be in the material world? Just like some dirty place. I was riding in a taxi once from an airport. It was, believe it or not, I was going to an airport. And it was late at night. And the roads were empty. And I said to the taxi driver, you probably like it at night. It's so quiet and peaceful. And he said, it used to be quiet and peaceful. But times have changed. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, now the young people in this place they're always drunk. He used the word. He was an English-speaking man, but he said, drunk as a skunk. They smell bad. And they're so disrespectful. They just yell at me and carry on, and almost every night, someone, they're so intoxicated, they vomit in the back seat. So I have to drop them off and clean it up. But even when I clean it up, it still stinks. So I can't drive the rest of the night. They're rowdy, they're insulting, disrespectful, and then they vomit all over the place. And it stinks. So I have to go home. It's not like it used to be. That's the taxi driver. Man in the street. So you clean something up. And it looks nice, but there's still this residual. So that's Arjuna's question. It's his doubt. What about this residual tendency that living entities have for being lusty and greedy and angry and bewildered? And like Prabhupada's example, you take a worm, it's in stool, and you think, oh, poor worm, let me move him from out of the stool. Very nice, now he's over here. Leave him alone, what does he do? Right back into the pile of stool. That's his home, in the pile of stool. So Krishna takes this living entity from his conditioned state and elevates him to knowledge, and in full knowledge he becomes a devotee, and as full devotee he's ecstatic. Krishna gives him the knowledge how to come to him, but what about this residual tendency? That's the fourth verse. Krishna says, don't worry. I personally take care. With the shining lamp of knowledge, I destroy this darkness born of ignorance. Ajnana jam tamaha. Ajnana jam, the darkness born of ignorance. With the shining lamp of knowledge. Personally, much like the last one of the last verses of the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Supposing somebody, that's a devotee, does some durachar, even sudurachar. Krishna takes charge of that devotee. And he corrects the situation personally. So that's what he's saying in this final verse of the Chaturasloki, Hare Krishna. We're halfway done. That's the first two sections of the four sections of chapter 10. The next section is Arjuna saying to Krishna, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan. Purusham Shashvatam Divyam. He got it. He's realized Krishna's message. And he's bubbling over with ecstasy of expressing his realization of Krishna's supreme position. And it's not only his opinion. Oh, so many great sages have concluded the same thing. And then he makes a request. He prays to Krishna, please describe those opulences, because he discussed in the first section his opulences, those that understand in truth his opulences and mystic power, engage themselves in unalloyed devotional service, This is certain without a doubt. He wants to know what are those opulences so that he can always manmana, think of Krishna. Now we're ready for the last section. The last section, Krishna obliges Arjuna's question and describes his opulences within this world. Now, the term that's used to describe his opulences in this world is vibhuti. The chapter in Sanskrit is vibhuti yoga. So don't start yet. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, there's a description of the incarnations of the Lord as they appear within this world, because that's one of the six questions that the sages asked Sutta to answer. Please describe the forms of the Lord as they appear within this world. And he describes the beginning with the Purusha avatars, then the Leela avatars and Shaktivesha avatars and Manvantara avatars and Guna avatars. And he also describes at the end vibhutis. Now, what's the distinction between avatar and vibhuti? Because this is vibhuti yoga. These are not forms of the Lord, but opulences that are reflections of his spiritual opulences in the spiritual world. What's the difference between an object and a reflection of the object? Just like you're at night, you're driving your car, and you see in the rear view mirror, there's the lights of the car behind you. So you know there's a car behind you because you see the lights. But you're not seeing the lights of the car, you're seeing a reflection of the lights in the car. The reflection is not the object. It gives you the reflection gives you an indication of the object. Yes? The vibhutis of Krishna give you an indication of Krishna. It's not Krishna, but it's an opulence. It's a reflection of the spiritual opulences of Krishna, because Krishna is Bhagavan. And his bhagas are directly spiritual. And his vibhutis are reflections of those directly spiritual opulences of the spiritual world, giving us in this world an indication of Krishna in the spiritual world. It immediately connects with the first section. That is, anything that appears, is born, comes into being within this world, cannot independently know their source or origin. But Krishna can disclose, and he is disclosing, his identity through his vibhutis. We're almost done. There's only three verses left. Third to the last verse, Krishna says, I have given you just a little indication of my unlimited opulences. Then he says, next to the last, all of these opulences, vibhutis, spring from but a spark of my splendor. Then the last verse, but what is the need, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge with a single fragment of myself? That's his kala, the portion of his plenary portion. That's the Purusha avatars. Krishna directly expands. He's the source of everything. So he expands because he has unlimited potency. He can expand himself and doesn't become less. Om Purnamadak Purnamidam. 1 minus 1 equals 1. He expands. And that's a plenary expansion, but a portion of a plenary portion is this Purusha avatar, Shiradakshai Vishnu. With a portion of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. It's what to speak of Krishna. So, to summarize, here it is in 5 bullet points. In the first section of verses, Krishna is saying, and also in the Chatur Sloki verses, he's the absolute truth. He is the source of all existence. And then said the other way around, same thing, nothing can exist without Krishna. But Prabhupada once said, there's not a third thing. There's no void in creation. Is it a Krishna or Krishna's? And there's no third thing. Very simple. That's number two there. Nothing can exist without Krishna. And then 3, 4, and 5 is the last three verses. No limit to Krishna's manifestations. Everything opulent, beautiful, glorious springs from but a spark of Krishna's splendor. And he supports everything with just a single fragment of himself. That's chapter 10, Bhagavad Gita. So class is over except for the entertainment part. This is the whole of chapter 10 narrated in English with nice pictures. So in case you don't understand English, you have your Bhagavad Gitas in front of you and you can follow along. Or just enjoy the pictures. Now, this was created for children. We have a Bhagavad Gita camp for kids every summer. And every summer they learn a chapter. And one year they learn chapter 10, the opulences of the absolute. One of their projects was they built a city of Dwarka. It was big and it was beautiful. It was so big and so beautiful that it got displayed in high schools and libraries, and the kids got to do many presentations to describe Krishna's opulences. And they sang Krishna bhajan and made presentations to explain, because, you know, people in America, they don't know about Krishna. When they see something three-dimensional like that, and kids that are ready to explain it, oh, that's attractive. All just from this. And the camp is for 2 weeks. By the end of the fourth day, they had memorized the whole Bhagavad Gita. Just from this. Because they associated the pictures with the verse. So this can be stopped, and then the teacher would stop and explain and say, what's next? By the association of the picture, they would remember what's next and say it. They memorized the whole, and they could explain it. Okay. Now, since you're all grown-up kids, I'll just show it once and you'll learn Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10. Very well. Okay, can we turn this, some of these lights out?
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, listen again, O mighty Amdarjuna. Because you are my dear friend, for your benefit, I shall speak to you further. Giving knowledge that is better than what I've already explained, neither the hosts of demigods nor the great sages that my origin or opulences. For in every respect, I am the source of the demigods and sages. He who knows me as the unborn, as the beginningless, as the supreme lord of all the worlds, he only, undeluded among men, is freed from all sins. Intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness, control of the senses, control of the mind, happiness and distress, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, non-violence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame, and infamy. All these various qualities of living beings are created by me alone. The seven great sages, and before them the four other great sages, and the Manus, progenitors of mankind, come from me, born from my mind, and all the living beings populating the various planets descend from them. One who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mine engages in unalloyed devotional service. Of this, there is no doubt.
So that's the first section. Krishna is described as being the source of everything. I don't need that. I can see. Krishna is the source of everything. Those that know that he's the source of everything engage in his unalloyed devotional service. And now begins the Chaturstoki verses.
I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts.
So this is the knowledge that the devotee has of Krishna's position, and then they worship Krishna with all their heart.
The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me.
This is describing what the devotees do. Minds absorbed in Krishna, lives fixed in Krishna, always engaged in the association of other devotees, in describing and conversing about Krishna.
To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance.
So that's the end of the Chaturstoki. The essence of Bhagavad Gita has just been spoken by Krishna.
Arjuna said, "You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. All the great sages, such as Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyasa, confirm this truth about you. And now you yourself are declaring it to me. Oh, Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. Neither the demigods nor the demons, oh Lord, can understand your personality. Indeed, you alone know yourself by your own internal potency. O Supreme Person, origin of all, Lord of all beings, God of gods, Lord of the universe. Please, tell me in detail of your divine opulences by which you pervade all these worlds. O Krishna, O Supreme Mystic, how shall I constantly think of you, and how shall I know you? In what various forms are you to be remembered, O Supreme Personality of Godhead? O Janardana, again, please describe in detail the mystic power of your opulences. I am never satiated in hearing about you, for the more I hear, the more I want to taste the nectar of your words.
Arjuna has described his realization, and he's placed a question before Krishna. These two things, your opulences and your mystic powers, please describe them so that in all ways, in all circumstances of life, think of you.
O Janardana, again, please describe in detail the mystic power of your opulences. I am never satiated in hearing about you, for the more I hear, the more I want to taste the nectar of your words. Splendorous manifestations, but only of those which are prominent, O Arjuna, for my opulence is limitless. I am the Super Soul, O Arjuna, seated in the hearts of all living entities. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. Of the Adityas, I am Vishnu. Of lights, I am the radiant sun. Of the Maruts, I am Marichi. And among the stars, I am the moon. Of the Vedas, I am the Samaveda. Of the demigods, I am Indra, the king of heaven. Of the senses, I am the mind. And in living beings, I am the living force, consciousness. Of all the Rudras, I am Lord Shiva. Of the Yakshas and Rakshasas, I am the Lord of Wealth, Kubera. Of the Vasus, I am Fire, Agni. And of mountains, I am Nehru. Of priests, O Arjuna, know me to be the chief, Brihaspati. Of generals, I am Kartikeya. And of bodies of water, I am the ocean. Of the great sages, I am Bhrigu. Of vibrations, I am the transcendental all. Of sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names, Japa. And of the movable things, I am the Himalayas. Of all trees, I am the Banyan tree. And of the sages among the demigods, I am Narada. Of the Gandharvas, I am Chitrarata. And among perfected beings, I am the sage Kapila. Of horses, know me to be Uchaishava, produced during the churning of the ocean for nectar. Of lordly elephants, I am Airavata. And among men, I am the monarch. Of weapons, I am the thunderbolt. Among cows, I am the Surabhi. Of causes for procreation, I am Kandarpa, the god of love. And of serpents, I am Vasuki. Of the many-hooded Nagas, I am Ananta. And among the aquatics, I am the demigod Varuna. Of departed ancestors, I am Aryama. And among the dispensers of law, I am Yama, the lord of death. Among the Daitya demons, I am the devoted Kala. Among subduers, I am Time. Among beasts, I am the lion. And among birds, I am Garuda. Of purifiers, I am the wind. Of the wielders of weapons, I am Rama. Of fishes, I am the shark. And of flowing rivers, I am the Ganges. Of all creations, I am the beginning and the end, and also the middle, O Arjuna. Of all sciences, I am the spiritual science of the self, and among logicians, I am the conclusive truth. Of letters, I am the letter A, and among compound words, I am the dual compound. I am also inexhaustible time, and of creators, I am Brahma. I am all-devouring death, and I am the generating principle of all that is yet to be. Among women, I am fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience. Of the hymns in the Samaveda, I'm the Brihat Sama, and of poetry, I'm the Gayatri. Of months, I am Magashirsha, November, December, and of seasons, I am flower-bearing spring. I am also the gambling of cheats, and of the splendid, I am the splendor. I am victory. I am adventure, and I am the strength of the strong. Of the descendants of Vrishni, I am Vasudeva, and of the Pandavas, I am Arjuna. Of the sages, I am Vyasa, and among great thinkers, I am Ushana. Among all means of suppressing lawlessness, I am punishment, and of those who seek victory, I am morality. Of secret things, I am silence, and of the wise, I am the wisdom. Furthermore, O Arjuna, I am the generating seed of all existences. There is no being, moving or non-moving, that can exist without me. O mighty conqueror of enemies, there is no end to my divine manifestations. What I have spoken to you is but a mere indication of my infinite opulences. Know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor.
These are Krishna's concluding words, so they're very important.
But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe.
Krishna's describing. Here you see in the picture, he's in the spiritual world in Goloka. And then the cloud of the Mahatattva. Within that Mahatattva, Mahavishnu lies and expands the universes and expands to enter within every atom of creation. This is but a single fragment of Krishna. He's disclosing this to Arjuna. So that's the end of chapter 10. And we've more than used up our share of time. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai. Jolina Srimad Maharaj ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Prema Ramdevi.